For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
One of the biggest storylines in football going into the season is Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Can he stay healthy? Can he get back to being the elite quarterback that he once was? And as of right now, there is a autobiography coming out in about 7 days. It's Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. You may have read some of the excerpts going around from the book itself, but to talk about the book, Aaron Rodgers, and more, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on the author, Ian O'Connor. Ian, welcome to the show.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. I have had the good chance to read an excerpt here, an excerpt there, and it's very interesting stuff. Just timeline this for us. How did this book come about, and what made Aaron the right subject of your next book?
Actually, I was under contract to do a LeBron James biography. You'd have some interest in that maybe in Cleveland, I would think. there was another, unbeknownst to me, another bio in the works by Jeff Benedict, which was a very good book, and I just thought there would be some LeBron fatigue if I continued. At the same time, Aaron got traded into my backyard in New York, and I thought he's likely the most polarizing player in the NFL, if not all of American sports, and he's also the most popular male athlete in this country who hasn't had a defining biography written about him. So I essentially traded LeBron James for Aaron Rodgers on the spot, and decided to engage this project and try to paint the defining portrait of this mysterious figure. And I guess I'll let the readers decide if I was able to pull that off.
So you've written several of these books, Belichick. I believe there's one on Coach K. You've written a lot of these really in-depth kind of portraits of players, coaches, what have you. I'm sure you've heard people say, well, that's not how it was. Have any of the subjects that you've written about actually gotten back to you that they were like, hey, that's a good job?
Yeah, I think Coach K, he sent word to people who got back to me that he appreciated the book, thought it was fair. Belichick, of course, never said anything, but Bon Jovi, who's a good friend of his, believe it or not, and they've been friends for 4 decades, saw me at the Super Bowl and told me that he really appreciated the book, liked it, thought it was very fair. I heard that from a lot of Belichick's friends. And so I've gotten that reaction. In some cases, I get no reaction at all. And really, the biggest thing to me is not whether or not the subject liked the book. It's whether or not the subject thought it was fair, because fairness to me is everything. And there are always going to be things in these books that the subject does not like reading about, because nobody, including myself, has ever lived a perfect life. And that's part of the process. I think Aaron Rodgers understood that. And one thing when I sat down with him that I appreciated was his understanding that I had no choice but to write about his family estrangement that has gone on for nearly 10 years. I just couldn't write a biography of the man without including that. And he understood that. I don't think every athlete would have had the same understanding that he did.
So when you have to talk about something like that and you, it's uncomfortable, or maybe the public has no idea what's really going on behind the scenes, how do you address that? How did he address it?
Pretty simply, I spoke with his parents, who have never really given a full interview on the estrangement, but Ed and Darla Rodgers were nice enough to meet with me and talk about it. And so I would, and then friends of Aaron's, close friends. I didn't talk to his brothers. They did not agree to talk to me, Luke and Jordan Rodgers. But I had a lot of information about the estrangement from people very close to Aaron and obviously his parents. And he listened and provided context. He countered. He denied some things, a couple things he just wanted to speak about, not for the record. And so I came away with, I think, a better understanding of why the division in the family exists in the first place. But it's also pretty clear that this division has gone on for way too long. I just, from the outside looking in, it seems to me it should have ended 5, 6, or 7 years ago. And there's one scene in the book where Aaron sees his father in the crowd at the Lake Tahoe Celebrity Golf Tournament last summer. And they actually hugged and told each other that they loved each other. And it was emotional and only lasted maybe 30 seconds. And Aaron went back to playing golf. But that was the first time. And Ed Rogers, his father, told me, I hadn't spoken to or seen my son in nearly 9 years. So as I looked and he's standing 15 feet away from me looking at me, I froze. I just didn't know how to feel. And so that hug and their expression of love meant a lot. And hopefully it's the first baby step towards reconciliation.
Ian O'Connor, the author of Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Book's coming out in 7 days on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So when it comes to Aaron himself, he's a bit of a complicated fellow. Not sure if you've heard about this, if you've seen about this, if you've heard about this. Do you feel like, in writing this book, do you feel like you've gotten a good grasp of who he is and kind of what motivates Aaron?
Yeah, I think he's a contrarian at heart. He has always, as a young man going forward, he has always asked why about everything. He wants to know the why of everything he does. And I think that what's usually a commendable trait is he is a fearless public speaker and defender of his positions, however unpopular they might be. And I don't know too many public figures who are that way. And I do give him some credit for that. I do think he has committed some unforced errors against his own image that were, like, for instance, he was considered one of the good guys in sports before COVID. He supported Colin Kaepernick's stance. There was an incident at a game where a fan yelled out an anti-Muslim slur during the national anthem. He rebuked that fan. President Obama thanked him for doing that. He was considered a very socially aware athlete, and all of a sudden COVID happens. He's asked if he's vaccinated at a press conference in August of 21, and he says the four words that forever changed his life. Yeah, I've been immunized. He hasn't recovered from those four words yet, and so I don't know if he will. I do think if he wins a Super Bowl in New York for a franchise that has not been to a Super Bowl since January of 1969, even though victory shouldn't equal virtue, I do think if he pulls that off, that will erase a lot of on-field and off-field sins.
Ian, a lot of athletes claim they don't care about how they're being reported, and then you kind of see breadcrumbs and you realize that's not entirely true. That's more of a defense mechanism. I think, you know, here in town, Deshaun Watson recently has said, I'd give two bleeps about what people think about me. It felt like he does give exactly two bleeps. But in terms of Aaron, in an interview with WFAN the other day, said he doesn't really care about how he's covered. Do you think that's in line with what he really believes?
It's funny, yeah, because I think there's a part of him that's sort of revels in that, the idea that he leans into being a villain and a contrarian and I don't care, but he's human. And I did ask him that, and he said, yeah, I care. And he is wounded by criticism at times if it hits home. And if it's from somebody he respects, certainly it hurts. So, yeah, I think that it's part of him being this complicated figure, and that's what attracted me to the project and trying to figure him out. Because he is mysterious and he keeps you guessing, or at least he tries to, about who he really is. But I think that there are a lot of things about him people don't know that are positive. His friends are very frustrated that that's not put into the public arena, the kindness, the loyalty he has to his friends, the thoughtfulness he has with them. And his marketing agent at CAA, Ed Berry, it says, I want to publicize some of these things, and he won't let me. So he's a frustrating client for his marketing agent. And I'll give you one example. The Jets had a dying boy at camp last year. Braylon Hodgson was his name. He had a rare cancer of the brainstem. And the father just read about Aaron in the media and thought, he's probably going to be not really responsive to this. I don't expect he'll even come over. Well, Aaron could not have been more compassionate with the boy. He spent so much time with him, caring. And the kid ended up, unfortunately, Braylon did, dying the morning after the 9/11 game where Aaron got hurt, and he had Aaron's jersey with him when he died. So there were just a lot of moments and scenes throughout his life that I detail in this book that you wouldn't otherwise know, in part because he doesn't want publicity for it, and in part because, let's face it, he's not a darling of the media, and most of the coverage about him has been negative in recent years, and it's just not part of his public persona. It's unfortunate.
Ian O'Connor on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He has a new book coming out about Aaron Rodgers on August 20th. So as it relates to, you mentioned, you know, living in the backyard there where Aaron Rodgers is going to attempt to play this year after attempting to play last year, the Achilles injury happens. Do you think that the Aaron Rodgers Jet situation, is this trending towards Jordan with the Wizards? Like, even if he plays well, it's going to be a futile effort because of what the organization is? Or do you think that this is actually going to come something closer to a true successful third act for Aaron?
Yeah, I think it's closer to a true successful season and act for Aaron. In that, and really, that's probably based more on a gut feeling than anything else. And certainly I've been wrong with my gut feelings more than a few times. But I think the football gods owe them one. After last year's misery, and the Jets have such a fatalistic fan base that they're due one here, I think, this season with an improved roster from last year, a team that did win seven games without a quarterback, and now they have one if they can keep him healthy. They also have a good backup in Tyrod Taylor. If he's got to make two or three starts, he's a competent backup. And so I think the Jets are in pretty good hands with a relatively manageable schedule. I can see them going 11-6, making the playoffs, maybe winning a game or two, who knows. I just want Aaron Rodgers to be healthy this year and let the chips fall where they may. I want to see him play 14, 15 games, maybe miss a couple in the middle there, and be ready for the playoffs if the Jets make it, and I suspect that they will.
So did the ayahuasca come up?
Yeah, it came up. I wasn't terribly – I was more interested in the family dynamics than ayahuasca. His good friend, his best friend – Jordan Russell introduced him to ayahuasca. He had an experience, and he told Aaron about it. And it was his golf partner and best friend. By the way, he was estranged from Aaron for 3 years or so, too. And one of the few people in an Aaron estrangement who actually was pulled back into his life, invited back into his life by Aaron Rodgers. But Jordan Russell was the first guy to talk to Aaron about ayahuasca. He goes on a number of retreats and engages in it and says it clears his mind and is sort of a spiritual cleansing so he can play better football, relate to people better, and he now swears by it. And I've never gone through that experience, so I can't comment on it, but I have no reason to doubt. I'll take him at his word on it, but that's how it got started.
Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, from Ian O'Connor, our guest right now. The first definitive biography of Aaron Rodgers, drawing on 250 exclusive interviews, including one of Rodgers himself, specifically for the book. This is the definitive one on Aaron Rodgers, and you guys can, it's on sale on August 20th. Ian, great stuff, man. I know. Writing on this level is like giving birth, so congrats on another successful book here, man. Really appreciate
it. Hey, thanks so much for having me on. My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Ian O'Connor there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We just had Ian O'Connor on, of course. We're trying a little Aaron Rodgers biography there, but Browns and Vikings joint practices this week. We, of course, are waiting an update on Mike Hall Jr., his availability to the team, whether he'll be going on the commissioner's exempt list because of the domestic violence arrest within the last 48 hours. So we got plenty to get to here. I got to say, I, you know, Keith and I have already kind of talked. I'm going to read every bit of this Aaron Rodgers thing just because, like, I think he is one of the most interesting individuals out there because of his willingness to put himself out there in a way that is not always necessarily PR friendly or PR positive, which is antithetical to most quarterbacks.
I mean, the dude's a weirdo. We know that.
Yeah.
He's an awesome player, but he's right. Like, some of the stuff, the off the field stuff, has certainly become like a factor in what people think about this guy and his legacy and all those things.
You know, it's funny. Like, on one hand, I wonder whether we truly need an expose into the personal life of Aaron Rodgers with the family dynamic. On the other hand, I don't know you're going to really understand Aaron Rodgers, which is kind of what I would like, is to understand more who he is and where he comes from. And maybe that might soften the touch when he goes out there and is his full contrarian self. So it's like, I am so empathetic that the access, and you know, I understand that players benefit off that access and they do things like Aaron Rodgers with Pat McAfee, all that other kind of stuff. At the same point, it's got to be pretty awful to have personal issues and then have them in the open light constantly.
Right.
So, and again,
the family thing is so bizarre to me, though, man.
Dude, it's, you know what's funny is if you read the excerpt that I read, the family kind of puts it on Olivia Munn. Aaron says, no, it's not really her. And then, like, even like the inner dynamics of his relationships with his brothers have been impacted with not necessarily Olivia Munn, but his family and their unwillingness to also cut his parents off. So it's just not simple. But again, dude, like, I have a very, very complicated family dynamic. It would suck if every time we came on air, I had to explain that or speak to that specific thing, especially like, dude, I've never seen anybody who's like, man, this estrangement is great. Like, this not talking, even if it's for the betterment of people in toxic situations, no one's ever been like, I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying having cut people who I have some level of love for, or all the level of love for in the case of your parents. I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. Even if it's for self-love, even if it's to take care of yourself, it doesn't bring up good feelings for anybody. And I think that only makes Aaron kind of more interesting there.
I know Jordan Rodgers because we're, you know, teammates,
yeah,
essentially at ESPN. And I've talked to him, not about this stuff, obviously, but like, he's a normal dude.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny.
It's just the whole thing is just so bizarre to me.
So I got to tell you. So I think I've told everybody, like, I have, like, my family, my biological father and my mother divorced pretty much like the day I was born. There's a whole story about that. And depending on who you hear it from, it's a different story. I don't know if you can relate to that. But I remember just growing up when I was young, and every time somebody would be like, so what does your mom do? What does your dad do? And you had to, like, create this, like, it was code switching of, like, well, which dad are we talking about? Well, which siblings? Because I have half-siblings, step-siblings, and full-blooded siblings. So, like, but yet, I remember meeting my best friend Nate's family. And I was like, God, they're so normal. Like, there's five of them. There's no real. And then, by the way, I've known him now since I was 14. There's no normal. His family has their own things the way my family has their own things. It's just different. When I met Vanessa, I remember telling Vanessa, like, oh, I just love that you love your family so much. It just seems so healthy. Guys, I know all the skeletons now. All right. It also had a lot of things in that family dynamic that was different. So it's so interesting. You were talking about, you know, Jordan Rodgers being so normal. And it's like, we're all normal. We just have a lot of weird stuff that you kind of end up code switching or sidestepping or, we're not going to talk about that right now. I think that's just the American family dynamic now. There is no normal. And by the way, it's the most freeing thing that you can ever learn. Somebody's got a parent that's an alcoholic. Somebody's got a parent that wasn't there. Somebody's got a parent that stepped out on the family. Like, everybody has something.
And no family's perfect, even if they pretend to be.
Yeah, like, and when I say perfect, I mean, like, even people who stay together, guys.
Yeah, they're fighting. It's hard.
It's so funny.
It's life.
So now people look at Vanessa and I and are like, oh, you guys are so normal. It's like, you just missed the Donnybrook we had about where I kept the Sharpie. All right? So you guys, thank you. That we're clearly very good at faking this thing. But, like, we just had an hour-long fight about where I leave my keys. Let's reel it in on the whole normal thing. So, great stuff.
You don't hang them on, like, the key rack?
In the last two houses, we haven't had the key rack.
I was pulling up. They're very nice because I don't forget. Well, I do forget where my keys are at, but not anymore.
Well, no, you also don't skimp on the details here.
I have an AirTag on everything.
Yeah, which, by the way,
is smart.
It's very, very smart.
Thank you.
I just need the Android version of AirTags, and we'll be right there.
Do they make one?
They should. I guarantee you they do. I just don't know what it is. Mac?
I've actually gotten one before, but the thing was...
Did you lose it?
No, the battery ran out.
You know you can replace those, right?
I gotta have to remember to replace the battery on that.
The memory always gonna get you. All right, you know, was LeBron saying Father Time is undefeated? My memory remains defeated. Like if Father Time is undefeated, my memory will lose at some point. It's just a matter of how proactive I am until my memory fails me.
Well, and it was one of those watch batteries, too, like the little, like, small ones. So it's not like you can just go to...
You're talking about your AirTag?
It's not an AirTag. It was a different company that made them, but you could use them on Android or Apple devices.
Yeah, I understand what that is. Is it like a tile? Or
Yeah.
Tile? Yeah. So those batteries are like $4 and can be at your house between 2 and 5 p.m. today.
Are you on Bezos land right now?
I'm just saying because I've had to buy those batteries for my little devices.
Why are the small batteries so expensive?
They're actually not that bad. I get the six pack.
Mm.
Man, it's like 10 bucks.
Must be nice.
I mean, must be nice.
I mean, living in that six pack battery life, some of us are living in the two pack battery lifestyle.
I don't think they make two packs.
It's going to be a lame Tupac joke there, but I'm not going to make it. I will address that I could make it, but I'm not going to make it because it wouldn't have been good. So just imagine like I made a really funny Tupac joke there. 216-474-0092. Can you prepare yourself? Is there any way you can safeguard yourself from a faulty memory? I say no. We do have a bit of news. We've talked about the Mike Hall Jr. thing. We did get to see Jameis Winston play over the weekend. I believe he went 4 of 5. There was some yardage there. Do you feel better about Jameis Winston going into the season, Dustin?
Do I feel better about him?
Yeah.
No.
Why not? He went 4 of 5.
It's a preseason game.
So-and-so. This is the problem.
I said I want to see him look decent.
Okay, but he looked decent.
Yeah, it's great.
What?
Right there? I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't do a Borat like you.
No, I don't think I did a Borat.
A high-pitched Borat.
All right. Well, we're going to table that for a second.
Let's table it.
I think this is the catch-22 of the situation. Jameis went. He looked fine. They kind of didn't go farther than that. And, like, because the reason why I'm pointing this out is I do think everybody goes into these games, specifically at quarterbacks, looking for things. And then ultimately we watch the game happen and we're like, I guess it really is just a preseason game.
I mean, it is just a preseason game, but they got their butts kicked. But who cares?
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I think if Jameis plays well, I think it... Not only do I think it's important for our psyche to have that, like we talked about it last week, the advantage of bringing back Joe, despite all the disadvantages, what if the luck runs out, all these different things. The advantage of bringing back Joe is you wouldn't be going into the preseason fretting about how good is the backup quarterback really, does he fit the system, all the questions we might have for Jameis. Even though Jameis has been a successful starting quarterback in his own right in the NFL, Mr. 30-30. That being said, I think this is that double-edged sword we're talking about. I do think there are people that want to see more Jameis in the preseason because I also think they remain out on Deshaun.
Yes, I think there's a ton of those people out there. And it does give you hope, if you're one of those people, that you have a decent quarterback that can still allow this team to make the playoffs, very similar to last year.
It's interesting. I love that word, hope. I think
that's all it is.
I think some Browns fans do feel hopeless because of Deshaun, and I'm just not there. Like, what I think is happening is we're just playing it out. If you feel hopeless about Deshaun, you've already given up that he's going to either stay healthy or play well this year. I have a lot of trepidation that he can stay healthy. This arm thing does scare the crap out of me. Although every time I see him make a 40-yard pass, it takes a little bit of that edge off for me.
Yeah.
All right? It's like that 7:45 gummy that just eases you into the evening. Not saying that from my own personal experience. I've just heard a lot of people, now that it's legal in Ohio, that's what people do. There's really not, for me, if I go into this season constantly looking for affirmation that Deshaun can stay healthy, I don't think there's anything that Jameis can do that's going to change that. Because here's the other side of that. I think there's also people who are going into this thinking that they themselves have a short leash for Deshaun. Meaning, like, if Deshaun has two games in September, they start 0-2 and he doesn't play well, I think there are going to be people looking to the backup quarterback. And I think that's another reason why people are paying attention to Jameis, and why I think maybe they're gravitating to some of the outwardly fun stuff from Jameis, like the hype video from before the preseason finale, his knick-knack paddywhack from last week.
That was pretty funny.
Like, I do think, like, it's never as simple in Cleveland, not specific to right now. It's never as simple as, oh, I just like Jameis Winston and I'm rooting for Deshaun. I think there's a lot of people all over the place within those two spectrums.
I think that there are a lot of people out there who are silent, secretly rooting against Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And by the way, there's some people not so silently. There's some people who, if you listen to them really hard, you can tell they're rooting against Deshaun.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it's a coincidence. Like, it's so funny, man. Even Jameis, like, we were out at camp, and I thought it was so funny. I thought Jameis was as funny last week as he was when we had him on after he signed, where he said, protect your cholesterol. Like, right, when we asked him, what does a W taste like?
Your cut is going to be gratitude.
Which, again, that does not pay my bills. I've tried, Jameis. I've tried to pay my bills with your gratitude. It's much appreciated. My gratitude matches your gratitude. The bank will not take it. I've tried.
Yes, they're delicious. Magically delicious.
But, like, even that, like, I think there are people when Jameis comes out, oh, well, he's more of what a franchise quarterback looks like. And I think that gets back to
what does that mean?
I mean, that means he is funny, engaging, has energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically we're to a point where anything that you can weaponize against Deshaun, I think some people are. Whether that's fair or not is not for you or me to say, but I think you can read between the lines. 216-474-0092. If Jameis plays well in the preseason, does it change your patience with Deshaun? Are you looking for hope when you watch Jameis play in the preseason, or if you see him early in the season? You big Christmas guy, into Christmas? Is that
you
a
like Christmas
thing?
Love Christmas.
Can
Lloyd Christmas?
When we talk to Matt, can we get him on board with more time, more playing time for Big Christmas? Can we get that? I don't know if you watched the game last night.
I saw the big guy.
I've never seen that guy hit I don't think that's a home run. Like, there have been so many times that guy smacks the baseball. I'm like, that's gone.
How big is that guy?
He looks huge. I think he's only, okay, I was going to say only. I think he's like 6'2 or 6'3.
He's got an ass on him, though.
He has a donk on him, man.
Yeah.
The John Kinsey badonkadonk.
You like donks?
He's listed as 6'3, 250.
Me too. I am also listed. I'd actually be 6'4 and about 250. No, he looks every bit of it. I couldn't believe he's only played 30 games since coming up halfway through June. I got to be honest with you. I don't know. And I can understand they don't want to overexpose a guy his first time through to try and preserve whatever magic he has. But, like, I was doing the math last night. Nobody ever plays 162 games anymore. But if you extrapolate his numbers to have played 150 games, which is more than Josh Naylor's ever played in a season, right now, John Kensie would be on pace for 40 home runs. And as much as I don't like the 0 for 3s and the 0 for 4s and some of the nights where the plate discipline isn't where it is, the threat of that guy hitting a home run, I think it's real right now. I think you saw it last night. I mean, two home runs. The three-run home run in the fourth inning was great, but to come back later in the game and give you that second home run, and by the way, you won by one run, so he gave you four runs last night. I think it's time. I know they've slow played it, and I know that some of that is Lane Thomas is mostly your right fielder. Put the dude at first base. Put the dude at DH. When you give, and I don't know how much left field he's played, when you give Stephen Kwan the night off, or DH Stephen Kwan, put John Kensie in left field. Because if nothing else, he separates himself by every other player who isn't a great average hitter or contact hitter. He separates it by being able to smack the ball 450 yards, or 450 feet. 450 yards would be impressive. They're the longest home run ever. I got to get you in on Big Christmas. It's time.
What, I'm in.
I kind of feel like I'm pounding the table for Big Christmas, and you're over there. Give me the salt and vinegar eyes.
There's no salt and vinegar eyes.
Mac, do you see salt and vinegar eyes? I'm seeing salt and vinegar eyes from where I'm sitting.
Maybe a hint of salt and vinegar.
A hint. And you don't want a hint of salt in your eyes or vinegar.
Hinto.
Really.
Hinto lime.
No. Hint of Christmas? No, we're going to
those chips, though. Tostitos. Hinto lime.
Oh, I know.
You can always get a Hinto.
Yep, you can. You know.
What do I know?
Can't say what I think you know. Getting back to the Guardians here. So, vibe check. They've won three straight. Can we get out of panic land? Can we do that now?
Yeah, I've never panicked. I thought it sucked. I thought they came back to earth a little bit, but I've not panicked. But I would say this. It's a little concerning when you give up eight runs.
No, but I think actually.
You're going to twist it. Here we go. Well, I actually think that they fought hard.
Well, that's exactly the kind of win that we like them to have, right? Correct. When everything goes to pot. Oh, so you were just jabbing me? You're just jamming me up?
When do I not jam you up?
That's fair. Is it crazy to think John Kensie could be like a significant factor down the stretch?
No. I don't think it's crazy to think any of these guys could be a factor down the stretch, because that's what happens with a team like the Guardians. I mean, you got unsung heroes. It happens all the time. I feel like it's happened a bunch with this organization throughout the years.
Well, but like, I think his power makes him a threat in October. Like, the things that truly matter are incendiary talents in October. Those are the guys that tend to give you the best chance to win. But if you've got a guy with like 70 grade power, which is what John Kensie has. Like, I know, when he first came up, I was thinking like Oscar Gonzalez. Dude, Oscar doesn't have this kind of power. Like, he has if just one out of every three games, if he hits a ball 400 feet, I think he makes it up for it, even if the other 11 at bats are strikeouts or groundouts or sack flies. Like, that's the other thing. I think it's just time they got to give him a real chance. And they got to get him in the lineup 4-5 times a week. Because, listen, by the way, do you see the BABIP since the All-Star break?
What was that again?
The BABIP. It basically factors in all elements in your offense. And they're...
It's called BABIP?
BABIP, oh. Yeah. And basically
it's
about...
You making
that up? No, I'm not.
I mean, you could be.
It's basically about... It's like batting average with balls in play. So this is one of the ways you can measure luck, because, and if you look at it, the Guardians have been like the most unlucky team in baseball since July on balls that were batted in play. You know how you counter that? guys that can hit the ball 400 feet. Like, you want to jumpstart an offense? Power is the easiest way to do that. Well, basic, because what it does is it takes pressure off people trying too hard. So, oh, hey, Lane Thomas. Can't hit a righty to save your life. You know what help?
Bap-bip.
Bap-bip. Bap-bip.
Beep-bop. Beep-bop.
I was going to say John Kensie Noel's power. Hey, David Fry, you've actually gotten a hit in four of your five last games. You know what'll help you even more? John Kensie hitting sixth and making sure you get an extra fastball or two, because I think this dude's starting to get a reputation. That being said, can we get some respect on David Fry's name?
Put it on it, man.
He has. Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
Welcome, Dad.
He has actually started a hit recently. Not that you can tell it by listening to anybody around here.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.